VentureCast.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Jeff Simons, is Ben right?
I thought it was fearless, but I'm going to say he's right because he's the Taylor Swift guy.
He is indeed the Taylor Swift guy, and he's wrong.
Oh.
See, this is Tim's favorite part of the podcast. He just, right now, he's just like a little pig in poop. He's just loving this. Hey, Tim, you know the only person who likes this more than you is India Kincannon. There's a really, really, really funny quote of India Kincannon where I do this thing where I'm constantly talking.
Uh-huh.
And she says, exactly wrong. Exactly wrong. And the girls will quote that back to me.
50 years of music with 50-year-old white guys.
Fellas, let's go on this super quick, expeditious 2021 podcast. Jeff,
by the way, every time you promise that, we go 25 minutes.
No, this is
settled. Settle in, friends.
Last week was the longest ever. I think we're done in 38 minutes. Let's go. Welcome to 50 Years of Music with 50-year-old white guys on the Electricast Podcast Network. You know, Ben Barton, I went running yesterday, and I put on my my running mix as I headed out the door. A good 33-minute run or something like that. The first song was Music I've Forgotten by Jeff Simons.
Nice.
And I'm like, that's the way to build up and kind of like get lost
you
in
the
story.
You didn't like stop and get to a slow, like just start.
Oh, dude, that's on my running mix too. I love that one.
Oh my God. It's a great way to start. But I wanted to tell you, like, as I'm stopping, right, I hit my 3 miles, right? And I'm in my backyard kind of. And, David Bowie's Let's Dance is just coming on. Now, like I selected a whole bunch of songs that we've talked about. And I'm like, oh, this is a song where Ben really emphasized the drum at the beginning. Jeff Simons. Woohoo! And I'm so focused on that drum and what he's doing there to kick off his song, that I don't notice the giant bear that my dog freed 15 feet away from me.
Oh my God.
Barking, and I look, and my little COVID puppy is barking at this giant bear who's now like climbed the tree like 6 feet. And I'm like, what? And the bear looks at me and says, You better take care of your friend and fast. So I did a little extra running after my 3 miles today.
That's amazing.
Yeah. And so now I'll forever associate Let's Dance with a bear staring.
I have a story from my life with Ben that's not dissimilar to that. We were living in a crummy apartment together, and the guy beneath us had like a little yip dog who he had no control over. And like Ben and I were walking to our car, and the dog came out like, arr, arr, arr. And it was not like cute yip dog. It was like, I am a ill-tempered, unpracticed dog around other people. Uh-huh. And the sad guy who lived alone in the apartment kind of limped out like, he's a little, it was like, get this dog away from me or I'm going to kick it. And the guy didn't talk to us for the rest of the year that we lived in that apartment complex. Aww. Which was a huge upgrade. Now Ben did us both an enormous favor. It was like, through the lines, like, we are not taking care of whatever crazy dysfunction is happening in this apartment.
That's what we do here on the podcast. We take care of dysfunction It is the year 2021, and we're going to pick our favorite album from this year, which was last year. The Grammy winner first, Jeff Symonds.
Oh, boy. You had me get so many other things ready that I completely forgot about the Grammy winner. Hold on a second. Talk amongst yourselves, listeners.
Oh, this is a good time. So I guessed it on the their very best podcast.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so we cover TV on the radio.
Oh, cool.
How'd they do?
First of all, Jeff, when you did it, they did their own podcast and you did this like light commentary afterwards where they made me do it. I was the host of the stupid podcast. They made me choose all the songs and do all the talking. It was hilarious.
What?
The total bait and switch.
A lecture TV on the radio.
Oh yeah. But the good news is that I actually like rambling on. So it worked on really nicely for me. It was great. All right. Grammy winner.
It's the Grammy winner.
We Are by John Batiste.
From afar, on days when it's hard, and always Lana knows how to say, in suits and song, from summer to fall, and always joy. She won't let it go, oh no.
So that's Ben. Do you know who that is?
No idea.
John Baptiste, Jeff Symonds.
He did all the music for Sing, and he was the musical director on The Tonight Show for a really long time.
Oh, and he did that song, Budapest.
That one I've heard.
You say so, yeah.
I think so. I'm like 75% sure. So wait, have any of us heard this album?
No, I have no idea what this is.
Ben, how about you?
Off to a good start of the music podcast. I've never heard that. I don't think it's the guy who did Budapest either. I think that's somebody different.
Ah, shoot.
That's somebody different.
Well, this is why people come to our podcast, for the
for sure.
Musical knowledge.
I'm looking up. So I'm seeing how many billion listens this has and how stupid we are. Actually, It's in the single millions, that song. The biggest hit from this record is Freedom with 20 million listens. But I mean, as big hit songs go, that's actually on the low end.
Okay.
So,
well, we're doing our best here in 2021. There's a lot going on in our lives.
I was listening to a lot of great music in 2021. That just wasn't it.
That just wasn't it. Hey, gentlemen, we have some housekeeping. First of all, next Monday is our final podcast of season two. We're recording our final podcast, right?
That's yes.
Next Monday, 2022, even though it's not fully over, we're going to go ahead and make our calls for this particular year. Next season, or what we can discuss that further, but next season or the season after, we are thinking of kind of a city states version where we look at different cities, different states, different countries, and we examine their musical history, picking our favorite moments or favorite musical acts from those geographic locales.
Yep. I'm just going to pick the musical Oklahoma over and over and over again.
Well, unfortunately,
what could go wrong? And I'm going to do Tulsa time. It's going to be weird.
That's great.
What we did is we took the 50 names of places, put them in a hat, and we selected them. So I am going to announce the first five locales.
So ahead of us. Okay.
Our fans,
this is not a democracy. This is a dictatorship with Tim at the helm.
Our
the
fans,
last will be swift if you disagree, Jeff.
Our fans can tweet at us or get on Facebook or Instagram and give us their votes. You know, maybe they know something more than we do about this particular place. I'm also interested in interesting guests we might have for the number one city kicking off our next season, Pittsburgh.
At least it wasn't Boston. I thought you were going to be like Boston.
You were like going to be like Boston.
I actually thought you'd be like, it's Wellfleet. That's funny.
Our second podcast will be about Australia. Then New York City kicks in to the top five here, followed by Toronto and London. So,
okay.
We would love to hear feedback about Pittsburgh, Australia, New York City, Toronto, or London.
Boy, Pittsburgh's having a moment right now. They're just like,
with Mac Miller, yeah.
I'm going back to Mac Miller. That's it. I don't need to do any research. It's Mac Miller time.
I can't.
Can we do songs that are connected to Pittsburgh? Can I choose Sister Sledge's We Are Family because of the 79 Pirates?
You can, yes.
Yeah, I'm going to. All right. I'm feeling good about that.
Oh, what's his face? The father of minstrelsy was from Pittsburgh.
Oh, good.
All right. Moving on. We got a new review, guys. Lovely. Please keep reviews coming. We love to hear your thoughts, and we love to get stars in our five-star column. And sadly, Peter Rafelson's dad died. Peter Rafelson, who started Electrocast with Mark and then brought us on board. Sad to hear that his father passed away. Peter, we're thinking about you. Bob Rafelson, his father, known for all sorts of stuff in his Hollywood days.
If you haven't read the New York Times obit, everyone, this is a fascinating life. Peter, we're thinking of you, buddy. Yeah, so I thought we would honor Bob with my favorite moment from Five Easy Pieces.
Let's go.
Yeah, now all you have to do is hold the chicken, bring me the toast, give me a check for the chicken salad sandwich, and you haven't broken any rules.
You want me to hold the chicken, huh?
I want you to hold it between your knees.
I remember that so vividly. I remember seeing Five Easy Pieces in high school and just finding it. It was just like beamed in from a totally other world. Like little suburban Jeff was like, whoa.
Whoa.
This thing has a whole different rhythm and flavor and way of being and way of speaking. I really loved it.
And he also created the Monkees TV series and put out an ad for four crazy people from age 17 to 21. Those are the four guys who they chose. The Monkees, ladies and gentlemen. Pretty great gig for them. And, you know,
At my gym, they have TV lands on mute. That's what's on the TVs by Jim. And on Sunday afternoon at 4, I believe that's when they rerun the Monkees. And So I've recently seen multiple Monkees episodes on mute. And I can say, awful, awful, awful.
You need to
leave it at that.
Especially with the sound off, it must look
that
like
must be it. It must be that the music would make me like it more.
That's correct.
Probably like watching Lancelot Link Secret Chimp without the talking.
All right, well, let's get to the number one selling album from 2021, Jeff Simons.
Well, it's not Taylor Swift. So who is it?
This surprised me.
No, I mean, it's either one of two people for the last 10 years. If it's not Taylor Swift, who is it?
It's the number one album.
30 by Adele.
I ain't got too much time to spare. Better make time for you to show how much I care. That I would let you break my walls, but I'm still spinning out of control from the fall. Boy, you give good love, I won't lie. It's what keeps me coming back, even though I'm terrified. I know that it's wrong.
Is that your favorite song on that one?
I have no idea, but it was the one that popped up right away. That I was like, oh, I know that. I remember how that one goes.
I kind of liked it. That was a good one. What would you have picked, Ben?
I would have chosen Easy on Me, but my actual favorite on that one, which I've already sound checked, is I Drink Wine, which is the one where she mumbles with her child about how she likes wine.
Very on the nose.
Yeah.
Oh, lovely. Hey, we got a new game on the podcast. It's called Is Ben Right? Is Ben Right? So I asked the question.
This sounds like another game that's stacked in my favor, Tim. Good job by you.
Ben tries to answer it, but the key is Ben is going to answer confidently. And Jeff, you can either go with Ben and say Ben's right, or you could say Ben is wrong. Here we go. Taylor Swift, while she didn't have the number one selling album in 2021, has had the number one selling album 5 different years. 5 different albums were the number one selling album in the country. Ben, can you name the 5 number one selling albums from Taylor Swift?
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Oh, I like this one. This is a good one. So you're just going to give me that there are 5.
There are 5. Yep.
Okay. So we know 2. We just heard 2. One is Evermore.
Right.
Another is Lover.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. 1989.
Correct.
Now we're in some trouble. I'm at 3, right?
You're at 3. Yes.
I can do the other 2.
Let's go Reputation and Red.
All right. Jeff Simons, is Ben right?
I thought it was Fearless, but I'm going to say he's right because he's the Taylor Swift guy.
He is indeed the Taylor Swift guy, and he's wrong.
Oh.
See, this is Tim's favorite part of the podcast. He just, right now, he's just like a little pig in poop. He's just loving this. Hey, Tim, you know the only person who likes this more than you is India Kincannon. There's a really, really, really funny quote of India Kincannon where I do this thing where I'm constantly talking.
Uh-huh.
And she says, exactly wrong. Exactly wrong. And the girls will quote that back to me.
That does not sound very supportive.
No.
Well, you said Evermore and it was Folklore. So we were
That counts. Give me that.
We were gonna forgive that. But you went with Red and it was indeed Fearless.
Oh, Jeff.
The final number.
Always
one.
Jeff is right.
Good stuff. All right. So, gentlemen, in 2021.
There's only one question on Ben is wrong. That's a one question.
Oh, listen, there's more, but I could just keep getting wrong. Like the game runs out.
Well, by the way, we're renaming it Exactly Wrong for
that's very, for sure.
I'm very excited.
My God.
In 2021, let's see, some news stories. There was the the cat that was out. Oh, and the funny grandpa. Oh, there was an attempted coup by an outgoing sitting president.
I feel like that was just last year. thank you.
The Ever Given is the name of a ship. Do you know why the Ever Given was in the news? Apparently not. The Ever Given got stuck in the Suez Canal for
I remember the pictures of that. That was unbelievable. That's the name of that ship. That's great.
Blocked 400 other ships and billions of dollars worth of goods. You know, it's one of those things where you're like driving the ship and you're like, no, I think I got this.
So I was on, sure. I have a ship crashing story. So to draft off of that, I tried to take my family on a 3-hour tour, Gilligan's Island style, to do go bird watching. And we bought the, actually, Susie set this all up, and we got on the boat. And it turns out one of my former students is the boat captain. He's driving the boat. He's got the little skipper hat.
Did he get a good grade?
He's all psyched to see me again. And
okay.
3 minutes into the trip, he crashed. He drove it, ran aground on a sandbar that he got too close to shore trying to get to the first set of birds. Now, imagine what the general makeup of passengers on an ornithology trip is.
Oh, like, boy.
Old people with binoculars are just flying past me. They just, because we go from 35 miles an hour to zero.
Oh,
and then everybody goes woof, across the boat, smashing. Everything breaks, tables, glasses, people. We have to be rescued by the Coast Guard off the sandbar, who take us off like six at a time. And then we have to be interviewed by the dock supervisor. My favorite part of it is, while we're all being evacuated and everybody's all cut up and we're doing like basic first aid on old people, a seagull lands on this pylon right next to us. My son quietly says, "Hey, look, a bird." Which might be the funniest thing he's ever said. So I feel that Suez Canal moment. I've been there, baby. I've been there.
You've been right there.
By the way, I won't speak for your kids, but for sure, bar none, without a doubt, Dolly and Georgia would be like, "Wow, that was a lot better than I thought it was going to be. That really worked out great. Thanks, Dad."
Yeah,
when the Coast Guard showed up and those old people were crying, amazing.
Dude, 7 hours to get like back to a dock we could see from the accident. Like, I was like, we just need to go there, but we couldn't get out because we were technically a stranded vessel.
Oh,
so
wow.
Yeah, tough moment for my
former day.
Student.
Tough day at work for you.
Tough day at the
poor
office.
Poor kid was like, "Oh, I can't wait to impress Mr. Simons. You know I can't write a good essay, but gosh darn it, he's gonna see me in my
bang.
No way. He's definitely like, "I had too much cough syrup this morning. It didn't work out."
All right. Jeff Simons, are you ready with the next musical cue?
Oh, that's the weird one?
Yep. Last week, my son was in the kitchen. He was cooking up dinner for the family. He was cooking up risotto, and I was his sous chef. And so we're listening to his music, and I'm enjoying it, and I'm rocking out to these new young bands. And he says, "Hey, Dad, what's your favorite guitar solo of all time?" And I froze, but I could definitely think of this one. Okay, stop.
Oh, no. You made this happen, Tim. Everybody gets to enjoy a little bonus Cinderella because of Tim Blaine. Now we're bringing it back down. I won't make you sit through the key change.
So, something about where I was listening to music as a teenager, like, he said guitar solo, and I went to hair bands and thought, you know what, I'm not a huge fan of guitar solos. But it's a paralyzing question that I didn't have time to study or prepare for. What would you all have said right away off the top of your head if your child asked, "Hey, what are your favorite guitar solos of all time?"
Ben?
All right. This is a thank you for asking, Tim. I appreciate that.
Uh-huh.
I would have said, I've got two answers, one that you will really not like and one that you might like.
Okay.
The first answer they won't like is Eruption. That's an easy go-to. If you want to know what a guitar solo is like, it's also because you don't have to listen to anything else. It's like, here's a guitar solo. Just the entire thing is a guitar solo.
Isn't that the whole song?
Yeah. That's the whole song.
Okay.
But the actual answer to that and my actual favorite is Sympathy for the Devil. The guitar solo in that is my all-time favorite. So tasty. I can whistle or hum or sing that entire guitar solo note for note.
And how about this?
That's a good solo. That's a great
solo. That's one of my top two or three as well. Ben and I actually agree on the all-time greatest guitar solo. It's just fantastic. But there are many, many great guitar solos. I would say that Hendrix doing Voodoo Child Slight Return on Electric Ladyland is a pretty...
That's a good one. Yeah.
Phenomenal one. I actually really love Scuttle Button by Stevie Ray Vaughan.
That's a great one.
In the weather. Just like a... Just kick-ass guitar solo.
That's it. That's like Eruption, though. That's 100% guitar solo all the way through.
100%. 100%. I love guitar solos. When they're played well and they're thoughtful and somebody's taking it somewhere, I am a huge, huge fan. It gets a really bad rap, and I actually don't understand why people are so blasé about them because they represent... You know what they do? They represent the thing that people don't have time anymore for, and that's practice, precision, and becoming really great at something.
Oh, like, man, if Indie Kikana were here, she would just laugh you out of the room with that.
Exactly
sure.
Wrong, exactly wrong. But
she'd
right.
be like, you know what people don't have time for is masturbating. Just don't care
okay.
for that.
She is exactly wrong about that, too, because let me tell you.
First of all, everyone can masturbate for themselves, but listen to another person do it.
Everybody's got time for that. There's no question about
all
it.
All right.
Listen. Oh, we shamed Tim. We finally got the move on. He's like, next topic.
Let's go.
By the way, I know as soon as you said masturbation, Tim was like, next topic. But Tim, and the answer to the hair metal question is Ben's already given to you. Kickstart Your My Heart is the great hair metal guitar solo song.
Is it the only acceptable hair metal guitar solo?
No, there's a bunch of hilarious ones. But fight. Cinderella is deeply unacceptable. That band blew.
Yeah, that's actually fair.
Like,
it's bad.
Just in a... Hey, that guitar solo you picked just is terrible. The tone, the playing, the timbre, the trebliness.
I love guitar solos,
and that's awful. I just hate it.
All right. Well, my bad. Let's get to our three albums.
Our three albums.
Ben, do you get to go first today?
He does. I get to go first.
I'm going to be brisk. I'm choosing an album based on Georgia Poe Kincannon Barton. She would have been here to discuss this album, but she is actually hanging out with her buddy Natalie. But we had a lovely chat about this record. And she said that she is the defender of unpopular records from popular artists. So she went ahead and did Lover by Taylor Swift. And this is her favorite Lorde album, even though it's unquestionably not most people's favorite Lorde record. So Lorde has put out three records. Pure Heroine in 2013. And she goes on a long hiatus. And puts out Melodrama in 2017. I believe we've discussed that one. Both Pure Heroine and Melodrama are fantastic.
Excellent. Yeah,
takes another 4-year hiatus and comes out with Solar Power. And if you haven't gone to the Wikipedia page for Solar Power, I strongly recommend it because it has a long list. It's written by the Lorde superfans. It's got a long list of all her various Instagram messages about what's going on with it. So one Instagram message is like, I'm working on a record. And the next Instagram record is like, my dog is sick. Work on the record is paused. And then her dog dies and she's like, I won't be working for another year and a half.
Oh my God.
Like, I have to change my writing process because my dog's dead.
Oh.
Anyhow, she's recording over this whole period of time. Before the record comes out, they're like, what's it going to be like? Are there going to be hits on it? And she's like, no, it's going to be a very unpopular record. People aren't going to like it. And she was kind of sort of right. Like, Melodrama actually sold less than Pure Heroine. And then this sold less than Melodrama. And she just couldn't give a half an F about whether these things sell at all. The record is super interesting. It's a journey record. It's about her personal journey into becoming a healthier person. The first song is called The Path. And it's got it's basically like a long, like 3.5 minute, 4 minute song about learning to do yoga and not caring what other people think. And that's what the whole record's about.
All right, let's go.
Georgia would choose The Man with the Axe. That would be the song that she would choose. That's not my favorite. I'm going to choose the song Solar Power. I consider this to be an all, like the album is really, really, really good. This song is a freaking masterwork. It's awesome. I can't say enough about it.
Woo!
Jeff, if you will start Solar Power at 1 minute and wait, hold on. We have to wait till she says blink three times and you feel it kicking in, because that just takes us over the top. Hit it.
Solar Power by Lord.
You're coming, my baby. Acid green, aquamarine. The girls are dancing in the sand. And I throw my cellular device in the water. Can you reach me? No, you can't. My cheeks in hot color, overripe peaches. No shirt, no shoes, only my features. My boy behind me, he's taking pictures. He's taking pictures. Lead the boys and girls onto the beaches. Come on, come on, I'll tell you my secrets. I'm kinda like prettier Jesus. Turn it on in a new kind of bright. It's solar. Come on and let the bliss begin. Blink three times when you feel it kicking in that solar.
Dude, totally. It's exactly, it's completely that, and I love that about it.
Me too.
Wait, what was your reference?
It's Freedom 90. It's Freedom 90, exactly, and I need that as the highest praise. That's how much I love this song.
Yeah.
Is that it's a ripoff of Freedom 90, and I'm like, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for doing it.
It's about time somebody did that again. Yeah.
Dude, it's also, it's a crazy song. Like, if you go back and listen to it, it's 2 minutes. No percussion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just this like staccato guitar and her singing over it. And it's not, and it's like, it's kind of like verse, chorus, and then the real chorus comes and you're like, oh, I guess that other thing that was a chorus was not the chorus. Like, it just goes completely over the top. The record is like this. There's a song called Oceanic Feeling that's, again, like just about like having a good time at the beach. It's a beautiful, in my opinion, it's a great record. It's a beautiful record. I'm so happy for her to have found this space where she feels comfortable expressing herself in this fashion. And I'm super extra mega happy for her that she's like just out on the whole thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
She takes 4 years between the records and she puts out the record she feels like. If you don't like it, that's fine. There's other records for you to listen to. and she's made all the money in the world. Like, she's going to be fine. So I just like, it makes me super happy to see her grow up in what, from the outside, again, I don't know her, but from the outside appears to be a very healthy space. And all of that being said, like, to put out a cheerful, happy, go to the beach, let your boyfriend take some pictures of you album in 2021 was such a bizarre, like, off key flex that I actually really liked it. Like, this is a record that physically cheered me up. And this song in particular brought me massive joy in 2021.
Right.
Yeah, well, I mean, she is from New Zealand, who they kind of figured it out, got back to the beach before the rest of the planet.
Yeah.
I kind of, I feel that. Yeah, great call. Georgia should start a little group of people who like the unpopular record by a major artist, because boy, is that a thing, right? Like, the Led Zeppelin community that insists that Presence is their best record.
I can't quite get there, but I'm close.
Right. The Tom Petty group that thinks that Long After Dark is supremely underrated. Like, that's just a great... That's a great sub episode for us to do with somebody, is what is the major work that everybody thinks is a minor work by your favorite artist, you know?
Wow.
People who want to spend time talking about the Who by Numbers from 1975.
Which is includes you. Yeah.
Oh, I mean, goes without saying.
Yeah. So. Yeah.
All right, great. Jeff, do it.
Love it. Jeff Simons, what do you have for 2021?
So one of the things that people did in the pandemic was try new things. They learned how to make a lot of bread, or they picked up the flugelhorn. Then some people were completely ground down by it, right? They just froze. They didn't get anything done. And then other people were like, well, I have the time to do the thing I really like to do. And they just put the pedal down and did an unbelievable amount of work. The guy I'm picking for 2021 takes everybody else's output from the pandemic and says, hold my beer. Would anybody like to guess how many records Daniel Romano, my choice for 2021, has put out since 2020? How many full-length albums of original material has this gentleman released in the last 3 years?
I got no clue. Ben?
I'm going to put the over-under at 6.5.
Okay.
I'm going to take the over.
At 7. Do you want to go higher than 7, or do you want to go, you know, lower than that, Tim?
I'm going to go, higher.
And you're right. It's 10.
That's insane.
It's 10 original records. And that does not include the 5 live and covers records and guest full albums as a duo. I'm not including the 25-minute EP he did with Danny Carey from Tool to do his prog rock record. And I'm not including other things. This guy is on a roll like I don't think I've ever seen in popular music. And as we talk, last Friday, he announced that his next record, a 33-minute rock opera, which is also the soundtrack to his friend's film, comes out September 9th.
Oh, my God.
There's no slowing down.
Who is this person?
So here's the thing. I say this and you're like, who is this person?
What are you talking about?
And so the thing I want to talk about this week is a little website called Bandcamp.
Oh,
Bandcamp
sure.
is a site where you can buy music directly from the artist. In fact, if you've been curious about what this whole Jeff Simons record is about, Bandcamp is the perfect place to go. Everything I've ever recorded by myself and Waffle Barrel is on Bandcamp. But so is all of Megan's music. So is all of Joel Streeter and all the people I played with over the years, because it's so artist friendly. For $10 a month, you can basically run your own record label through Bandcamp. Amazing. One of the things they do that's really great when you're a Bandcamp artist is once a month, they send you an email and say, hey, this came out too that you might like. And I am curious enough and I'm scrolling through and I hit a song by a guy named Daniel Romano. And I was like, this song is terrific. Who the hell is this guy? And then I was like, wait, how many records does this guy have? Wait, when did these records come out? Wait a minute. And sure enough, starting in 2020, Romano was, living at home. He had all his friends nearby. He's from Ontario, Canada. And he just kept writing and kept writing and they kept recording and he releasing. And Daniel Romano and his Outfit, which is the name of his backing band,
amazing,
has just made record after record after record. He is terrific. He is also guilty of putting in too much music. 10 records. But he was genre hopping for a while. He was like, here's a country record, and here's a folk record, and here's a psychedelic record, and here's a prog rock record. I didn't love that as much. And then he just settled into, here's the version of me that takes the best of all those influences and makes something that is just first rate fire engine rock and roll. But this is how great Daniel Romano is. And Ben will appreciate this. Bob Dylan appeared on David Letterman in 1983 to promote Infidels. And he went on there with a punk rock band he'd seen the night before in a club called The Plugs with a Z. And he taught him how to play Joker Man that afternoon and License to Kill, and went on Letterman and played two like punk rock versions of brand new songs from a record that he'd worked with reggae artists.
I can't.
It made no sense whatsoever. But some people think it's Bob Dylan's greatest television performance. And he told The Plugs, like, this is my new sound. We're going out on the road. Clear your schedules. And then The Plugs never heard from him again. One of the records that Daniel Romano put out is called Bob Dylan's Infants, if he'd actually finished making it with The Plugs. And it sounds exactly like what Infidels would have sounded like. It is the whole Infidels record played like a punk rock trio. Okay. And I love that he just spent a day doing that. And then he wrote a whole record and recorded that 4 days later. Suffice it to say, Daniel Romano is worth going in and tracking down. But you got to go to Bandcamp because only a third of his output is on Spotify. I have no idea why. I have no idea how he chooses what to put out. Any of the records, any of the four records he put out in 2021 is a great place to start. I like them all. They all have great songs. But here is my favorite Daniel Romano track. It is also kind of everything he does well. Fantastic drumming, great song, tons of great vocal harmonies, tasty overdubs. This song is called First Yoke, and it's a great introduction to this guy.
Various works by Daniel Romano.
Horn players coming over in Ontario.
It's great stuff. There aren't a lot of horns on his other things, but I just love that overdub. It's just great.
That's
but
nice.
when they play live, they did a live on the air and from their studio in the pandemic. One song just smashes into another. Like they just medley. Like there's like zero time between songs. So it's just like 25 minutes of one killer song after another. And then he's like, hey. They like retune and then smash into another 25 minutes. He's my kind of guy. I can't wait to see him. Daniel Romano's First Yoke is a great place to start with this guy, but really it's just like a giant box of chocolates. Just dig around and see what you like. There's something there for everybody.
Cool beans. Ben Barton, any idea who this was?
Absolutely. Jeff has pressed this on me. So first I'll say I do like Daniel Romano.
Uh-huh.
And there's a dozen songs that I like. So that would be a really good output for an artist in 2 or 3 years to put out a dozen good songs. It's problematic that he put out 10 albums, but that's basically my take on it. And it is hard, you know, it's hard to dig through that amount of material to find the stuff that's good, but he's definitely good.
Awesome. Yeah. I got to check him out.
It's the great question, right? It's the Prince question. Like, should Prince have put out all 700 songs that are hiding in the vault, or was it great that he took the 20 best of the 100 he'd written and gave it to us? Like, I feel that way too. Like there's a half a great record over and over and over again. And maybe if he slowed down and took the best four songs from three records together, he'd have one of the all timers.
Right.
You know, and Ben's right. Like, I mean, the guy's probably at the edge of really needing an editor. But because he puts him up on Bandcamp, where you can listen to the whole damn thing for free, it's such a generous output of like, hey, what do you think about this? Here's another one.
Yeah.
You know, I also find it kind of inspiring that none of it's bad. You'd think like you'd hit a track, you're like, wow, that's third tier. And like, there are songs I don't like, but not because they're bad songs, just because they don't do anything for me.
Right. You would hope that most artists are not so cynical that when they're recording a song, they might not know it's bad. Right? Like,
but this is part of the, so I mean, on the one hand, it's like, it's the greatest time ever to be a musician or a music fan, because it's unlimited. It's just unlimited amounts of stuff. And if you're Daniel Romano, you can just keep recording shit and put it on Bandcamp. You know what I mean? Like, no one's going to stop you. And there's actually not that big a disincentive to doing it. Like, I mean, in 1983, he would have showed up and he would have been at the label, and he would have been like, I've got 45 good songs. And they would have been like, listen, son, play me your best song. I want to hear one song. And they would have played that. And then they would have been like, that's fine. Okay, listen. Now, I don't have time for you. I've got underlings who listen to your other 45 songs and choose 10 of them. That's it. And then we put out a record. And that would have been harder for Daniel Romano. And maybe that would have been worse. But that's also kind of better. I mean, that's how you get the first Cars record. Yeah. I guarantee that there were more Cars songs than there were on that first Cars record. Sure. And the reason why is they just chose the best ones. And they were like, that's it. That's what we put out.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, like, it's the same question with Ryan Adams, of course. Like, Daniel Romano and Ryan Adams are very similar artists. Ryan Adams has put out 5 CDs worth of music already this year, 2 double albums and a single. And that's, you know, same problem.
We actually have encountered this, you know, when we went to Spotify and we said, look, we've got a podcast where one of us is in Arizona and the Wi-Fi is not that great. Yeah. Spotify was like, get out of here. We don't want you. Just kidding. Well, gentlemen, let's transition to the last album of the night. My choice, the actual best album of 2021. Everyone thinks so. But first, everyone, whether you're on this podcast or just a listener at home, I want you to think just for a moment. Think about someone who had your heart at one point. Maybe you were young, maybe you were vulnerable, 16, 17, and they had your heart, and then they broke it. How did that make you feel?
I can't wait. I'm very excited. I think we're on board together.
How did you emote? How did you process it? Well, in Scituate, Massachusetts, you would process it through Bud Light and snow football. But Olivia Rodrigo processed it in a very different way. We're going with her album Sour. And Jeff Simons, my favorite song off Sour is Deja Vu. Don't give me that face, Ben Barton. This is a killer.
Sour by Olivia Rodrigo.
Car ice to Malibu, strawberry ice cream. One spoon for two and trading jackets. Laughing about how small it looks on you. Watching reruns of Glee, being annoying. Singing in harmony, I bet she's bragging to all her friends saying you're so unique. So when you're gonna tell her that we did that too, she thinks so. But it's all reused, that was our place. I found it first, I made the jokes you tell to her when she's with you. Do you get deja vu when she's with you? Do you get deja vu?
What's funny is as teachers, we go through this because we do the same jokes over and over. We teach 3 classes in a day. We're punching that same joke or the same class. Oh, wait. Oh, it's Gatsby. Same jokes year after year after
year. I definitely do not do that.
Well, first of all, I definitely do. I definitely do. And dude, it's way worse in law school. Do you know why it's worse in law school? It's because the students outline it. And there's apparently a full length outline to my torts class that includes some of the jokes. So mean. Uncalled for, really.
You're like trying to get new material together. That's not fair. But Ben, I'm reminded when you, one time, what was the song, Diamond in the Rough?
Yeah, Sean Colvin.
And you said you would put it on different mixtapes. Like, that's what we did. And you try out your jokes. Oh, the joke worked on her? Excellent. That'll also work on her. Oh, jeez. Deja vu.
this is a great selection. I love this record. Olivia Rodrigo. So this is so she was on several different Disney shows, including High School Musical.
Yes.
And she was already famous. And it's actually weird. There's several different people who have come out of this farm, this like really, in my opinion, very exploitative and evil farm system to actually have pretty good careers. Selena Gomez is has got several different really good songs, but nothing like Olivia Rodrigo. Like this is just an all-timer, this record. Here's several things that I really, really, really like about this record. And then I'll say why Deja Vu is not my favorite song. Okay. First, it doesn't sound like other stuff on the radio, which is really weird for a person coming out of this farm system.
Totally agree.
Totally agree.
The production is fantastic. The songs are great. And her version of Teenage Heartbreak, like, just spoke to me so powerfully as a 51-year-old white man. I was like, oh, you just completely captured it.
You might have overcaptured it. Tim is like back in it. Like that was, I got a little worried for you there, brother.
I've got two favorite songs in this record. One is the sort of more punky-ish single Brutal, which is just amazing. And it's a description of how horrible it is to be a teenager and how miserable it is right now and how everyone's really mean to her. And my favorite thing is she's like, I'm not cool. I can't even parallel park. Such a great joke. I'm not cool that I'm not smart and I can't even parallel park. Just perfect. And then Driver's License. Driver's License, if you haven't heard it. So listen, for the listeners to this podcast, you will actually like this song.
This song
is beautiful. It's a song about her. He dumps her. She finally gets her driver's license and she's driving around in the suburbs, remembering when they were together. Oh man, it's just a murderer's row song.
The whole thing was she was going to drive to his house once she got the license.
Totally. She's like, we always used to talk about it now. And basically you said you'd love me forever. And now I'm driving by myself in the suburbs. Like, it's fucking fantastic. It's so good. It's derivative of an Adele song, but again, high praise. I mean that as high praise. Like, it's a fantastic piano ballad. Here's the problem with Deja Vu, Timmy.
Driving around by yourself songs are some of the best songs. Like, riding in my car.
That's a podcast.
Dude, she captures it so perfectly. It's so beautiful. It's such a heart on the sleeve record that it's almost weird that it's so commercial. Here's the problem with Deja Vu, Timmy. Do you remember the song that she introduces him to that's the most amazing song in the world?
Billy Joel.
Billy Joel's Uptown Girl.
Yeah.
It's a problem. I'm like, you have terrible taste. He's got terrible taste. And his new girlfriend is also an asshole. All of you people are assholes. You're choosing Uptown Girl? That's the song? I was kids of today have to protect themselves against Uptown Girl.
I remember.
Don't spread the virus. Like, look out for Uptown Girl.
Martha discovered Uptown Girl. She's like, Dad, do you know Billy Joel? I'm like, yeah. Have you ever heard Uptown Girl? I'm like,
I've heard Uptown Girl.
I only memorized the dance with Christy Brinkley. Come on.
So, Jim, you're a better dad than I am because both of the girls were like, you like Billy Joel, right? And I was like, sure, there's some Billy Joel songs I like. And they're like, how do you feel about this one? Up, down. I was like, oh, good one. No. Stop.
Jeff Simons, what do you got about Olivia Rodrigo?
You guys covered everything. I agree with everything you said. Yep. So I'm startlingly better than anything I could have anticipated. Believe me, I had my cynicism meter turned up to like Mach 50. And I was like, all I can give this is a slow clap. It's good.
Oh, wait. Had you never heard that song?
Oh, no, I've heard it.
Oh,
when they announced she was making a record, I was like, oh, the High School Musical kid is going to make a pop record.
Disaster.
Boy, I can't wait for that. And then I wonderfully surprised.
She's also got an all-female band, and they kick butt. Have you seen her any of those live performances?
I have not, but luckily for you,
I have tweeted out one so you can check it out. I got to tell you, you will get emotional when it's at Austin City Limits and she's singing Driver's License and they cut to her audience and you've got 12-year-old girls like with masks on, because this is about maybe a year ago, and they're just going for it. They're singing along with, they're so intense, really identifying with her. And then, you know, she drops the F-bomb a couple times And these 10-year-old girls are fine. They don't care. They'll drop an F-bomb in Austin.
Tim's a little upset, but the girls were fine.
I got to tell you, too.
I will note, the girls pointed out to me when I discussed this record with them that there's been a lot of pushback and that the ex-boyfriend has really like laid back into her and that it's unfair. And
I just
hope that she's okay, basically. Like, I'm just looking out for her. I've got my eye on her, and I hope that it works out. There's a definite chance that that the second record's not good and that this will be it. All of that being said, believe me, I like a lot of records where they have one good record. And this is a great record. If you remember, Tim's got a complete right. You remember what it's like to have your heart broken in high school? Just go ahead and pick this up. You will just toe tap along with it every step of the way.
Speaking of such songs, we were walking around Cambridge, Massachusetts 2 weeks ago, and Flannery's with me. We stop at a crosswalk, and two women are in a car just singing All Too Well at the top of their lungs. And they're just going for it, unashamed. And Flannery looks at me and she's like, I really like this town.
That's great.
Yes, child, you too can sing.
So does your father, because you're going to college here.
That's right.
No pressure.
Keep on studying. All right, gentlemen. Good stuff.
2022 next week. I'm excited.
2022. And then we will say goodbye to season two of 50 Years of Music with 50-year-old White Guys.
I will be at the beach. I will be in a fantastic mood when we speak next week, without question.
I will be at a beach as well.
How about that? Martin?
Knoxville, Tennessee. Beautiful Knoxville, Tennessee. It's the beach of East Tennessee.
It's the beach town of East Tennessee, sure. It's,
no question about it.
That's your wife's new campaign slogan. Make Knoxville.
Bringing the beach to Knoxville. Yep.
All right. Great. Great seeing you all. Much love. And I'll talk to you next week.
Good job. Bye, y'all.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Lisa Godet, host of Her Extraordinary Life by Design podcast, where we celebrate women who are shaping their lives one extraordinary day at a time. I speak with women from all over the world about what they do and how they are passionately pursuing their dreams and creating meaningful impacts on their communities. So come join us and learn about all there is to learn about these extraordinary women.
Electric Acid.
Welcome to Tuning Into Sound Wellbeing, where we harmonize your mind, body, and soul. I'm Amanda, your sound therapy expert.
And I'm Stephen, the curious explorer uncovering the mysteries of sound.
Together we explore vibrations, frequencies, and the power of sound therapy and tuning forks.
Discover ancient wisdom, reduce stress, and tune into a healthier life. Subscribe to Tuning Into Sound Wellbeing today.